Today we're doing the 132nd Psalm, which is unusual compared to all of the other Shira Malot. A, it's much, much longer. And if you've seen the others, you've seen some that were 5 verses, you've seen some that were 6 verses, you even have some that are 2 verses. This one, on the other hand, as you can see, has 18 verses, making it not only longer, but longer by a great deal more. So that is number one. It's almost double that of the longest one. The longest one that we have other than this is 9 verses, and this is double the length. It has been pointed out that this mizmor, as well as that we say after benching, Abishuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, are the two Shira Ma'alot that compelled those who argue that the word Ma'alot means rising up, going up to Yerushalayim, and that this is one of those about going up. We have a great dispute about when this was written, with some scholars arguing that it was written as Bishuv Hashem et Shivat Zion by those who returned from Babylonia and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And this would have been the song that would have been sung when the second bayit was built and dedicated, and that would have been the case. Others argue, no, this is written in the days right after David's death, with the building up of the Beit HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech, and the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash at that time. Yet others argue that this is originally written when David brought up the Aron, when he brought up the Ark, that until the first Bayit was built, the Aron was kept in the Mishkan and it moved from place to place. Given that David now has conquered Yerushalayim and taken it from the Yevusi, and has been told that that mountain over here is exactly the place where Beit HaMikdash will be built, though he himself will not build it, and he draws the plans to do this. One of the things that he does succeed in doing in his lifetime was to bring up the Ark to the place where the Beit HaMikdash would ultimately be built. We will soon see some of the parallels in the book of Shmuel, and you will see some of the same language and why those that argue that this is either in the lifetime of David or shortly thereafter, or as some scholars have argued, that we have here two poems that were then melded together. There are a great many arguments against that, as you will soon see, because we do have a chorus that binds the two halves together. On the other hand, one could say that there would have been a first part written in the days of David, the second part written in the days of Shlomo, deliberately repeating certain lines to bring it together to indicate the completion, the fruition of David's dreams. It begins, Shir HaMa'alot, Zechor Hashem leDavid et kol unoto. Remember for David all of his, and Rashi says that the word unot comes from the word inui, and means his suffering. All that he had suffered, how much agmas nefesh, how much agony he had going through this. Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch argues that it has a dual meaning, and that is one, the word oni, which means his poverty. David, poverty, why? You will soon see the story. And the other one is from the Lashon of La'anot et nafshechetechem, as the Torah commands us to afflict our souls on the day of Yom Kippur, which means to fast or to prevent oneself from any kind of comfort. A deliberate sacrifice. And if that's the case, it would be a sacrifice of food, water, shelter, comfort for a higher cause. I have found an additional argument that comes from the word anot, kol anot, I hear the voice, the response, because of the word la'anot, which means to answer, responsiveness, and therefore means to raise one's voice. Remember God, all of his raising of the voice, namely his prayers. All of these are making reference to the same chapter in Shmuel that actually confirms all of this. It could be his torture, his suffering. It could be the fact that he had taken a vow not to sleep in his own house and on a bed. So long as the house of Hashem would not be built, hence Hirsch's position. And one, of course, the prayer that he made to God. And what was it? And when he swore to God, Asher nishba la Hashem, nadar le'abir Yaakov. Now, Radak looks at those two halves of the second verse, Hashem, Abir Yaakov, and says, it's just repeating the same thing, both sides are parallel, they are synonymous, and why are we doing this? As he always says, for the sake of emphasis. Hashem now is Abir Yaakov. Now, in modern Hebrew, the word Abir, knight with K-N-I-G-H-T, a hero, a warrior, someone of this kind. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch notes that the reason it means a knight, the original word is to take something from a low place and bring it up to a high place. And the term originally, says Mitzudot, comes from the concept of abir, meaning strong, heroic. He is the strong one of Yaakov. And why are we mentioning Yaakov? Because in Parshat Vayetze, when Yaakov fled his country on his way to Haran, because his brother swore that he would kill him, and his father sent him to Haran in order to get a wife from there. You will remember that he managed to get away from home and stopped at a place when the sun set. And that was a place we know today as Bethel. There he slept. And you will also remember that that night he had that dream of the ladder. And when he woke up, he says, aha, this is a holy place. Zeshar Hashamayim. Now he was in Bethel and not in Haram Moriah, which is where the Akedah was. But the way the ladder stood was in a bit of a diagonal. So as if it was pointing, since at the top of the ladder was God himself and he saw angels going up and down, he knew the place was. And at that time, he made an oath. And that oath was, if you will give me lechem lechol ubeged ilvosh, if you give me some food to eat, if you will see to it that I have a garment to wear, if you will take care of me and bring me back to this place, I pledge that I will build Beit Hashem in this place. This is the place that is Shar HaShamayim, the gates of heaven are here. Oh, so if that's the case, then the oath to build Beit HaMikdash went all the way back to the time of Yaakov. And the location that he had pinpointed went there. Now, granted, it also goes back to the days of Avraham, because that was the place. And there it says, that would become the place where it says, Hashem Yireh, God will see, or Hashem Yireh, God will be seen in this place. But the notion that that would become the place where not only would there be an altar, but we would build a house, as it were, a temple for God, that was only mentioned by Yaakov. And therefore, we are mentioning Yaakov in this particular context. And what does it say? What did he swear? He swore as follows, Im avo bo'ohel boiti. Now the word if is always a hanging clause, which means XXX will happen if such and such. And you don't dare mention what the XXX is, because in a sense what you're doing is you're cursing yourself. You're saying you're damning yourself. If I do what? Im avo be'ohel beiti. If I will come into the tent that is my home. Im ale al eres yetzuai. If I will lay on my bed. Im eten shnat leinai. If I will ever allow myself to sleep. Le'afapai tnuma. If I will allow even a small dozing to my eyelids. Ad emtsa makom lehashem. Until I find the place for Hashem. I find the place that was designated for God. The place that was supposed to be Mishkenot Abir Yaakov. The place where God, Mishkan, Shechina, where Abir Yaakov would be able to put his resting place. Where his presence would be filled. You'll notice that it says Mishkenot. In plural. I looked for this. I've not yet found a source for it. But I simply believe that it doesn't mean one. It means that that will become the place for Bayit Rishon, Bayit Sheni, and Emir Tzashem, Bayit Shlishi. David put it as his mission when he became king. to find the place. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a location on the border between Binyamin and Yehuda, which of course is the place where Har HaBayit was, which the Jews, during the days of the Shoftim, from the time Yehoshua came until the first kings in the days of Shaul, didn't conquer and remained in the hands of the Yevusim. Shmuel Bet, in the fifth chapter, we hear, Vayavo kol shiftei Yisrael David Chevrona, all of the tribes came together to Chevron. By now, by the way, Shaul and Yonatan are dead. There's been a massacre of the rest of their children. Horrible war, which David ultimately steps in and wins. And after this great victory, they all come to Hebron, which is where David was encamped. And they tell him, Hinenu atzmecha ubsarcha, we are flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. In fact, we've been loyal to you even when Shaul was king for us. We already saw that you were the one takes us out, brings us back. I mean, in other words, he was the military leader and the successful one. And Hashem had said, word had gone out that years earlier, Shmuel HaNavi had anointed him and said that he was the chosen one, that you will be the shepherd of my people. We come here, all the elders, and we are declaring you king. He was already recognized as king by his own tribe. Now that it's all over, the house of Shaul has been vanquished. All of Israel comes and appoints him king, and he is again enthroned. He becomes king. Vayimshichu et David lemelech al Yisrael, and they actually anointed him again, though he had been anointed years earlier by Shmuel. At the time that he finally became king over all Israel, he is 30 years old, and he rules for 40 years. And what we're told is, initially, he ruled in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and Yerushalayim, the rest of it, for 33 years, additionally, in Yerushalayim. So he's now going to move the court to the Yerushalayim. And what we then hear is, so David goes into a major battle. He conquered and captured the area, and that area becomes known, it's Mitzudat Zion, which then becomes called Ir David, David City. And David begins to build. They bring the Sanhedrin there, they build a big building, they build his palace there. Hiram, the king of Tyre up in Lebanon, sends wood and workmen, and they begin to build the palace. As he begins to build this, Vayakam Vayelech David, David goes and takes Aaron HaElokim, he brings up the ark with the kuvim, the cherubs on top of it. All of this is brought to Yerushalayim, since this is now the capital. Go back and read chapter 7 of Shmuel Bet. It tells as follows, Vayhi ki yashav ha-melech b'veito. And now he's in his palace. V'Hashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oivav, and all of the enemies have been vanquished all around. V'yomer ha-melech el Natan ha-navi. And the king turns to Natan, who is the moral, the conscience, if you like, the guide, the spiritual guide. And he tells Natan HaNavi, Anochi Yoshev Beveit HaRazim, here I am living in a cedar house. V'aron HaElokim Yoshev B'toch HaYiriyah, whereas the ark is simply in a cloth tent. And Natan tells him, on his own, whatever is in your heart, you can do, for God is clearly with you. Whatever you've wanted to do up until now, Hashem has been with you. But that night, Natan having spoken too early, God appears to Natan and tells him, go tell my servant David, Ha'ata tivneli bayit lishifti, literally with a question, you think you will build me a house to dwell in? I've not lived in a house from the day I brought Bnei Israel out of Egypt to this very day. And I've been, if you like, walking around. I've been a roving presence in a tent, in a mishkan. Remember that there was either just a plain tent or a mishkan, the way it was built, that had actually pillars of wood. Bechol asher italachti bechol bnei Yisrael, I managed very well to move around all of the tribes wherever I was, to be there as a shepherd with my people. And I never asked them, why haven't you built me a wood house? Never asked them to. Therefore, tell David, ani lekachticha min hanaveh, I took you from the oasis as a shepherd with the sheep. to be a leader of my people. I will be with you in all the places that you go. I will wipe out and cut off all of your enemies. I will make you a great name as the name of all the great heroes in the earth. I will make a place for my people, Israel. I will plant them there, and they will no longer have to be in strife, no longer have to wander. I won't allow evil people to torture them or oppress them as they did in the past. He says, I don't need a house. And when all of the enemies and the rest of the land has been conquered, remember that David later on, and we had studied that, went on major conquests to finish conquering the places that had not been conquered hitherto. Then I will tell you when it's time to make a house. Your days will be filled. You will lay down together with your fathers, meaning way after your death. I will raise up your children after you. He says, and want somebody that comes from your loins, some your own biological child, I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house. You won't. You have a different job. Your job is not only to have a capital and to secure Binyamin and Yehuda, but to continue expanding the land according to the boundaries that Hashem had declared when they came out of Mitzrayim. Because throughout Israel there were pockets, Knaanim and Emorim and Aramim and Plishtim, you understand? And there was a lack of security in the process. And that you remember that he finally managed to secure all of Eretz Yisrael the way we have it today, including the area that we know as the Golan Heights, all the way to Damascus. But at the same time, God had promised him that his children would rule after him, that there would be a dynasty. And then he adds furthermore. He says, your son will build a house, Lishmi. Vekonanti et kisei mamlachto ad olam. I will establish his throne forever. Ani elo le'av. I will be his father. Vehu yeli leven. He will be my son. Asher be'arvato. Should he transgress, should he sin and go off the way, I will beat him with a staff. Human sufferings, be it disease or be it with war. However, chasdi, my chesed, which is unconditional love, lo yasu mimeno. Even when I punish him, even when he's dethroned, I will not remove my promise from him, as I removed it from Shaul. V'ne'eman beitcha u'mamlachtecha ad olam. Your kingdom, your throne, your house, meaning your dynasty, remains secure forever. Kisacha yenachon ad olam. This is what the message came back from Natan to David. Now you will understand what he says here. Zechor Hashem le David. Remember, God, what you had said to David. Remember also et kol unuto, all of his suffering, all of the fact that he deprived himself from the luxury of living in a palace to go out to war. So now this is a very good argument that the person who's saying this is none other than Shlomo. And this would be when Shlomo built the Bait, and when he brought the Ark into Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then comes the next part. Hine Shma'anuha be'Efrata. We had heard of her in Efrat. We found her in a field of trees. What are we talking about? Rashi says Efrat means aristocratic. And that's why it tells us in the story of Ruth that they were Ephratim, not from the tribe of Ephraim, but rather the word Ephrat would be like saying Rothschild. It's a term for aristocracy. Rashi, however, also cites another position that maybe it actually comes from the tribe Ephraim, because Yehoshua bin Nun came from the tribe of Ephraim. And therefore, we already heard about it in the days of Yehoshua. In the book of Yehoshua, there is an oblique, kind of like a, by the way, message about a place called Ketefa Yevusi that they will need to conquer. And he makes kind of like mention that this is an important place. So they knew that it had some sort of importance, but they did not conquer it, not in the days of Yehoshua, nor in the many years thereafter in the days of the Shoftim. Now that takes a different position. He says, Derech Ephrata is synonymous with Bet Lechem, and it's the place where Rachel is buried, and David comes from that area, Bet Lechem. And so we already heard vis-a-vis David, who comes from Ephrata, which is Bet Lechem, if you take the position that it's Shlomo HaMelech who's saying it. But I was told by my father, this is the place. We already heard way back when that this is the place where the Beit HaMikdash will be built. And he showed us where it is. Ibn Ezra says, we heard from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, that the place is close to Bet Lechem, which is Ephrata. So we heard it either through the prophets, I heard it from David. Again, all of this depends on when this was written. That's all. What then is Sdeya? Explains Rashi that Lechem is Yehuda, Bet Lechem Yehuda, and it is on the, and the Har HaBayit is on the border between Yehuda and Binyamin, and the symbol of Binyamin is the wolf, who is Chayat HaSadeh and Chayat HaYa'am. So the term of the fields, of the forests, is a reference to the wilderness, the place where is the tribe of Binyamin. Radak and Ibn Ezra say it was a place called Agoren, which is an orchard, that belonged to Arona HaYevusi, that he conquered. And there were lots of trees. And therefore, Navoa leMishkanotav, let us come to his settled places, leMishkanot. Again, the plural. Nishtachave leHadom Raglav, let us bow down to the footstool for his feet. This is reminiscent, though, written many, many years later, where Yeshayahu says, Hashamayim Kisi, heavens are my throne, and the earth, Hadom Raglai, and the earth is my footstool. In other words, this is the place, Kivyachol, where God rests his feet. Who says Ibn Ezra? That the earth and all therein can contain God. But there are places where there's a greater sense of presence, where there is a greater sense of God's being here, where he reveals himself, if you like, in those places. And those are the places that we call Mishkenot. Hence the word Shechina. Places where he rests, where his presence is felt. Kuma Hashem limnuchatecha. And now we call out to God, rise up and come to your resting place. Not reminiscent, by the way, of when Moshe Rabbeinu, when they had the ark in the desert, he would say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha. It's as if the case that they didn't carry the ark, but that the ark carried them. Uzzah made the mistake that the ark might fall, as if somehow God needed him to keep him from falling, and therefore he was struck down. I don't need to bring you up. You will come up by yourself, because the ark is just an object. It's Hashem's presence that we're asking him to come up there. Kuma Hashem lemnuchatecha, ata ve'aronuzecha. You and the ark that symbolizes your strength. So the ark is just a symbol, but chas v'shalom, not to think that the ark itself is God. You don't want to slip into idolatry here in the process. And so I call God to come. In other words, when I'm bringing the ark, I'm not really bringing God up, I'm just bringing the ark. I'm asking God, however, to come to this place. And as a result, what will happen? Kohanecha yilbishu tzedek. Your Kohanim will dress themselves in justice. Because it was the role of the Kohanim to adjudicate cases that could not be adjudicated in a regular court of law, vis-a-vis the Urim Vetumim. And they would determine particularly ritual law. What is Tameh? What is Tahor? What is Tzarat? What is not Tzarat? That was their role. Kohanecha yilbishu tzedek, v'chasidecha iraneinu. Who are the Chasidim here? According to Radak, these are the Levim. They will take their role as Morei Tzedek, teaching religious law. And the job of the Levim, who are called those that love you, their job is leranen, it's to sing. All this they will do, ba'avur David avdecha, for the sake of David, your servant, al tashev pnei mishichecha, don't turn aside your anointed one. How appropriate this would be if it was Shlomo HaMelech. Not because I'm worthy, but because of my father David, do this in his name. Don't turn me aside. And what were they waiting for? They were waiting for the Shekhinah to come down. And they would know this when they, of course, when they placed the offerings and a fire came out from heaven and consumed it. They knew that God was pleased with this and the presence of God had come down there. So far, very good argument for this being Shlomo HaMelech. Comes the next part. Nishba Hashem le David. God had sworn to David, and you heard the language in the 7th chapter of Shmuel Bet. Emet lo yashuv mimena. It is truth, and he will be faithful to it, never going back on it. Mipri bitnecha ashit lekiselach. Your throne will continue with a child that you bore. All this on condition of what? Im yishmeru banecha briti. If your children will keep my covenant. Ve'edoti zo alamdem. And the ordinances, the laws, this law, which means the Torah, which I have taught them. Gam bnehem adei ad yeshvu lekiselach. Then their children will also forevermore sit on this throne. Maintaining their position of governance is contingent on their behavior. However, no other king can sit on the throne. Sometimes the throne is empty. That's why on Sukkot we say, Harach Haman hu yakim lanu et Sukkot David hanufalet. You will raise again the Sukkot of David, which fallen. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, for God had chosen Tzion. Iva lemoshav lo. Iva comes from the word te'ava. He desired that place for him to settle on. That remains Tzion. That remains forever. Just as no other king can take over the throne, no other location can take the place of Yerushalayim and Harabayit. Because God said, Zot Menuchati, you see, this is God's words now. Zot Menuchati, this is my resting place. Adead, forevermore. Po Eshev, here I will dwell. Ki Vitiha, for I long for her. For I yearn for her. Her being Yerushalayim. From Yerushalayim, Tzeda Barech Avarech. I will bless her food stores. Tzeda LaDerech, when you take food for the way. It's food stores. Not that you're going to eat right now, but things that you're going to have for tomorrow and the day after. Evyonea Azbialechem. I will satisfy with bread even the poorest of her. Kohanea Albishyesha. I will dress her priests, the Kohanim, not with tzedek this time, you see the variation on the theme, but rather with salvation. V'chasideha, and her Levim, or chasideha, are the righteous people inside Yerushalayim. Not everybody agrees it's Levim. Not merely Yiranenu, but Ranen Yiranenu, will sing indeed, sing. Sham, only there, Atzmiach Keren le David. There I will again grow the horn, meaning the crown for David. Arachti ner limshichi. I have set aside a candle, literally an eternal candle that's burning there for my anointed one. Oivav al bishboshet. His enemies I will dress with shame. Notice cloaked in shame, cloaked in salvation, cloaked in righteousness or in justice. Ve'alav, and on him, yatzitz will glitter his crown.